Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. I want to share a stat with you to kind of keep you in this ministry, in this calling of foster care and adoption. And as of 2020, there are 140 million orphans worldwide, and 15.1 million have lost both parents. Now, I know that number can sound overwhelming, but I think it's precise to say that there are lots of vulnerable children all over the world, and many are close to our own front door, that they're just lonely ones waiting to be in a family. They're waiting for someone to show up and care. They just need a mom and dad to call their own. And so I think you're really going to enjoy our guest today as we talk about this and how God moved in her family to continue fighting for the weak. Michelle and Paul Chitwood live in Virginia, and they're raising their family there, working with the International Mission Board. So, Michelle, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so tell us about your family. It's a little unconditional like mine, how the Lord built your family. But just tell us what y'all are doing now and maybe the age of the kids, that sort of thing.
Okay, well, we have four children. They're ages range from 24 to 8. So Paul and I will,
I love that.
Yeah. Paul and I will probably never be empty nesters. We've joked that our youngest one will go to college and drive us to a nursing home.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I hear you. I'm there.
But Daniel graduated from college a couple of months ago, and he is married to a wonderful girl, Derica, and they live in Florida. And our daughter, Anna, is a nurse in Louisville, and she's doing really well there. We're really proud of her. And Kai she just turned 14. We adopted Kai from China, and I'll go into a little bit more of that in just a minute. And Lily is 8, and we adopted her from the foster care system in Kentucky.
Oh, wow. Well, let's back up a little bit then, since now that we know you have four children, one married, late 20s all the way down to 8. I know that's a challenge, trying to meet all those different needs every day. I get it. And to our listeners, if you're in that same boat, Michelle and I fully understand, because you can have one, your wedding planning with other, and then you're trying to do first grade homework with another.
Right.
And it's a challenge. But Michelle, just back up and tell us who first influenced you to think about foster care and adoption.
Well, it's interesting, you know, Paul is now the president of the International Mission Board, but the International Mission Board has played such a vital role, or the International Missions has played such a vital role in our past. We didn't even realize the impact that the Mission Board has had on us and our family. But when we were at First Baptist Somerset, Kentucky, the church was planning to take a really big mission trip to Brazil. They took doctors, dentists, and construction workers, and I was not going to go. I was afraid to go. I was afraid to leave Daniel and Anna. I had all these terrible visions of things that could happen and Paul and I not make it back, but Paul was going to go. And they had a meeting at church one night, and because Paul and I had driven together, I sat in on the meeting, and by the end of the meeting about the mission trip, I was signed up and ready to go. So God, I was afraid. I was still fearful, but God clearly told me that I needed to be on this trip. And so we arrived in Brazil, and first night we were there, we showed the Jesus film, and a lot of the locals came out to watch. And there was a little girl who she stood right beside me. You could tell she wanted to know who I was. And so interpreter came up and we started talking with each other. And then the next day we had Bible school, and she showed up again. And this time she held my hand. And so the entire week, this little girl was with me everywhere I went. When she, I even went to her first dentist appointment, which wow. was, you know, under a blue tarp, and Dr. Mike Pope was working on her teeth. She had never been to the dentist, so I held her hand while he had to pull one of her teeth. But she's just such a sweet girl. Her name's Triana. And at the last day, an interpreter came up and said, Triana's mom wants to meet you. She wants you to come to her house. And I said, okay. And I didn't really know what to expect, but, you know, her house was a one bedroom, just little brick, no indoor electricity or plumbing, nothing like that. But I went in and sat down, and Triana's mom basically said, can you adopt my daughter? Can you take her home with you?
Oh my goodness. And, oh wow.
Yeah, it was still to this day tearing up over
right.
the sacrifice that her mom was willing to make. But
wow. And Michelle, yeah. how do you answer something like that? Like,
well, I answered with some tears. You know, I understood that, yeah, I could bring her home and she would have good health care and enough food to eat and all those things. But she truly, she had a mother who loved her.
Right.
And so, and the government just wouldn't allow it either, because she was not an orphan. Mm-hmm. But her mom was willing to sacrifice the love she had for her only child, because she loved her so much. But, you know, I'd never even really thought about adoption, but I'll tell you, that just really shook me to the core. And I got home and started praying about adoption and pushed it out of my mind a lot.
Yeah.
So probably about a year I pushed it out of my mind. And, you know, God has a way of just really burdening you with something. He just won't allow you to let it go. And Paul was at this time a trustee for the International Mission Board, and he was gone, and Daniel and Anna were playing, and I finally said, God, you have got to tell me what you need for me to do, or lift this burden that I have, because mm-hmm. you know, I can't go on anymore. I need this to be lifted from me. And I did something really spiritual. I opened my Bible to the first passage that it opened to. And I know that, you know, they say, don't do that. That's, you know, but I did. And this really, literally, I turned to James 1.
Oh, wow.
And I read James 1. And then I got to verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, for seeing me and caring about me and wanting me to be a part of the work that you have. And so before Paul got home from the mission board meeting, I had already completed all the paperwork and was ready to send it. So we decided to adopt from China. And when we started the process in China, it was taking people about 6 months, but China started getting overloaded, and it ended up taking us about 2 years.
Yeah, but us too. Yeah, we got in on that long wait as well.
Yeah, I remember having dinner with you and Kevin. I don't know if you remember this, when we first moved to Mount Washington, and this was before God really had just told me, Michelle, this is exactly what you need to do, and you've known this for a long time, but you all were talking about the process and the fact that you had adopted from China, and so that conversation really helped us a lot too. We were at Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, of course we were at Outback.
You remember that?
Wow, that's great. You know, we were so influenced by small conversations like that as well, because I was like you, it was just, it was always just, it had been a years of a burden on my heart. And God spoke to me through my older girls, and they were like, Mom, look at what we have. And so, yeah, like you, it was a small church pastor. I just watched them do it and learned from them. So I'm glad we could be of a little help that night. So thank you for remembering that.
Yeah, you definitely were. It definitely spoke into our lives, and we're thankful for that. But we took Daniel and Anna with us to China to get Kai, and I remember there were 14 other families who traveled with us, and you know, they called our name, and we had to show our passport to get Kai, and Anna looked up and said, "We got the best one."
I love that.
Yeah, and you know, as a mom, you're worried about how your biological kids will feel about you adopting. Will they feel like they're not enough, or all the attention is moved towards them? But I got to tell you, Kai has, she just fulfilled our lives, and Daniel and Anna's too, enriched our lives so much. So, and that, you know, that was just another fear I had that I probably Satan put in there trying to get me not to do what God wanted me to do.
Yeah, you know, and I say a lot, Michelle, and I know you and Paul would agree with Kevin and I, to have missed these wonderful, precious people that God allows us to parent, to have gone through life and missed that.
Oh, yeah.
I would have missed out on so many things the Lord wanted to show me in my life, so many blessings, how he works through hurts, how he works through disappointments, how he heals, how he works through just their kindness, their love for me. My children truly have just shown great love for me, and I don't know that I reciprocate that enough, but I try, but they've taught me so much about the simplicity of loving other people.
Yeah, and you know, people will say to Paul and I, wow, those are some lucky girls. But
oh, I know,
We're the lucky ones, mm-hmm. You know, we're the lucky ones to get to raise them.
Oh, yeah, it is unbelievable. It just how the Lord works. I think I've shared this before on the podcast, but one July during my birthday, I was just struggling, just in my parenting, really struggling. Our family had been hit hard by things, and, man, I was just having a really hard time, Michelle, and just couldn't really voice it, didn't know how to put words to it. And my sweet Libby from China, she came to me one day and she said, "Mom, I've got a birthday present for you." And I remember this when you said James, brought up the book of James. And I said, "Oh, that's really, really sweet." Now, she's not artsy. So I'm like, "What? What is this?" You know? And so she said, "Yeah, Mom, here, sit right here. I've got a gift for you." And she just began quoting to me the book of James. "Mom,
oh, wow.
Count it all joy," you know, and just, man, really ministered just as a young teenage girl, you know, coming from neglect and brokenness. She just has such a love for Christ. She just began to minister to me at that moment. I would have missed out on that had I not just entered that wrestle with the Lord and said, "Okay, Lord," and like you and Paul did, put our yes on the table.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's just it's incredible how the Lord ministers to us through these precious children. You know, Michelle, I love what you say. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me and wanting me to be a part of your work. And I know when you brought Kai home, it just began. Isn't that right?
Yes, it did. So we decided, again, after seeing people around us adopt from other countries, we decided that we were going to adopt from Ethiopia. And so we wanted to adopt two little boys from Ethiopia. So we had filled out the paperwork. The home study was about to be finished. We were about to write that final big check. And I got a call with a breast cancer diagnosis. Mm. And so I had to call the adoption agency and tell them, you know, I have a breast cancer diagnosis, but we still want to go ahead and adopt. You know, with surgery and chemo, my chances of surviving are very high.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "We're sorry, but because you've had cancer, you will never be able to adopt from Ethiopia."
Wow.
Because, you know, in Ethiopia, if you have cancer, you usually do die of it because healthcare is so poor there. So I understand that, but we were brokenhearted. We really felt like God was leading us to adopt again. But we understand, I know when we hear one. So I did go through chemo and surgery and all those things. And I'm fully recovered, thank the Lord.
Oh,
But
yes.
I knew there was more that I needed to do. And I wanted, because Paul was at that time state exec for Kentucky Baptist Convention, I knew I had a platform. And I knew that God had put the passion of adoption in me for a reason. So I wanted to see what I could do to motivate the churches of Kentucky. There at the, you know, there's a lot of Baptist churches in Kentucky, and at the time there were 8,000 kids in foster care. And I thought, you know, if one church or if one family from each church would foster a kid in foster care, we could completely change how Kentucky looked.
Wow, yeah.
And so we started Be the One campaign of you be the one person to stand up and make a change, because there are, the number is 140 million orphans. I mean, you can't, you're right, you cannot even wrap your brain around that. But if you, if you can make the difference for one child, I mean, that is that, that's generations. That's not just one child, that's generations to come that you're going to influence. So Paul and I decided that we would go through the training for foster care because we were asking others to do it. We thought we should probably do it as well. And so we decided to be foster parents, not to adopt though. That was not our goal. Our goal was just to
Yeah.
be
Your
right.
goal. That was your goal.
Yes. Our goal was to be foster parents for kids. And you know, you can even you decide what kind of home you're going to be, and they place kids based on that. So
Right.
we were a foster home, a non-adoptive foster home. And so I told that my social worker that we wanted older kids because, you know, everyone else in our house was older. And so she called me with, and she called me with a little girl who was almost four. So not the age group I had asked for, but she said she's a really sweet little girl. She's turning four in March. She's her mom's working the program. She should be back with her mom by May. And I said, okay, yeah, we I can do that. And so we picked her up, and the sweetest little thing. We fell in love with her immediately. She was having visits with her mom, so every weekend I would take her and drop her off with her mother, and every weekend I would have to pick her up on Sunday night. And her, she experienced so much trauma from me picking her up and taking her away from her mother. It was just terrible, and it broke my heart. It really did. And May was fast approaching, and her mom was passing drug tests and doing parenting classes and doing all the things. And you know, I was trying to establish a relationship with her mom. My goal was to have a relationship with her mom, so if her mom did need some support, she could always call me. That was my goal. I wanted to be Lily's live-in babysitter. Not live-in, but I wanted her to know that
Right.
she could come to my house whenever she needed a break from Lily, just so Lily could stay with her mom. They had a huge bond. And the weekend that Lily was to go home, Paul and Kai actually took Lily to her mom's house. And when Paul arrived, there were three individuals there who were very, very high on something. And her mom was nowhere to be found. And so Paul said, you know, I think I forgot something out in the car. I'm gonna go get it, and her mom, Lily's mom, can call later. And so Paul left, and Lily hasn't seen her mom since. Her mom just completely went off track. Almost seems like she sabotaged things. But drug addiction is, you know, it's a terrible, devastating thing that I guess if you're not in it, you don't really understand how tight it can hold you, because Lily's mom, she does love her, but she just could not shake the addiction that she had. So the social worker came to us and said, well, because Lily's plan has been moved to adoption, we're going to have to put her into an adoptive home. And I said, I'm an adoptive home.
Did you? Right away?
Yeah, right away. Paul wasn't even at the meeting. I was like, we're an adoptive home.
Right.
So that started the process, a long process. There's a lot of kids in foster care just lingering in the system because the courts are so backed up. But part of Be the One, we tried to get churches to partner with each other. The babysitter that I had for Lily, because I was a teacher, she was gracious enough, and she went into foster care training too, so she could be Lily's respite care.
Oh, Michelle, so, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so we thought, what if, you know, people who don't want to do full-time foster care, they could be respite mm-hmm. for parents who are choosing to do that. And so she came beside us and was our respite care when we needed, you know, Lily could stay with her overnight, 2 and 3 nights a month. And so that was such a blessing as well. But after a long time in court, a lot of social workers, a whole lot of legal stuff, we were able to finally adopt Lily. So, but again, you know, God didn't even see that one coming, but Lily fits with our family. She looks so much like me. It's kind of crazy how much she looks like me, but yeah, we have an 8-year-old.
Wow. And you know, at 4 years old, I tell you, I remember when one of ours came home at 3, they just fit really well right underneath that little bend of your arm right there. You know, they're so yeah. easy to just kind of pull in and cuddle in. And it is such a sweet age. It really is. And I think that you made a great point that when we're walking with someone through addiction, because I don't know of a family it hasn't hit, but when you're walking through someone with addiction, begin to wonder, why can't they parent? Why can't they bring their A game to the table? What, you know, when we begin to kind of, I don't know if they're judgments, but we're just kind of, you know, inspecting the situation there. But they're so dependent and they're not thinking clearly. They don't even, you know, to put skills together to parent, you're nowhere near that at that point. And yes. So when Paul said, I need to go to the car and check something or I forgot something, I mean, that was absolutely the Lord's protection on little Lily's life.
Yes, it was. I know that God must have big plans for both her and Kai, just mm-hmm. the situations that they were brought out of and how he's going to use them in their lifetime. So,
man, that's just a beautiful story of how the Lord built your family, and I'm just so grateful for your transparency to share that today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lynette.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.